On this vote, the ayes are 50, the nays are 48. The nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh of Maryland to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed. The Sergeant at Arms will restore order in the gallery.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and Brett Kavanaugh is the newest justice on the Supreme Court. Although the voting was almost entirely along party lines, there were some senators whose votes we were all watching, among them Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, and Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, and the only Democrat who voted to confirm Kavanaugh. Collins, who will be up for re-election in 2020, was a crucial swing vote in the Kavanaugh appointment, and she ultimately voted to confirm. Manchin is currently running for re-election in a state that Trump won by a 40% margin of victory. So where are the political realities each is facing in their own states? Joining us to discuss this is Emily Stewart, a reporter with Vox. Hi, Emily.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by Jake Zuckerman, a political reporter with the Charleston Gazette-Mail. Hi, Jake.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
So, Emily, I want to start with you. Senator Collins came out this weekend to defend her vote on Kavanaugh. Let's take a listen to what she said on CNN.
I do believe that she was assaulted. I don't know by whom, and I'm not certain when, but I do not believe that he was the assailant. So,
Emily, Collins is not up for re-election in November, but from what you've seen, what's the reaction been so far to her vote?
I mean, she's pretty popular in Maine, and this seems to have, at least for the time being, harmed her. Obviously, she's not up for election until 2020, so there's a lot of time between now and then, but people are disappointed. I mean, we'll see sort of what happens in the next several months and years, but I think that a lot of her constituents were disappointed, and more broadly, I think women around the United States who were looking to her to defend them are also disappointed in her.
Well, and they're not just disappointed, they're actually putting money towards funding her opponent. What have we seen about that so far? There's been a crowdfunding campaign to support whoever the opponent would be, whoever the Democratic opponent would be.
Right. So there's a crowdfunding campaign run by Be a Hero, which is the group founded by the activist Ari Barkin. And they've raised about $3.5 million to go toward whoever runs against her in 2020. And that is a big amount of money. I spoke with them over the weekend, and, you know, they said that that might be a game changer for whoever does decide to run against her or gets the nomination in 2020. Obviously, they're a little optimistic about that, but it's a lot of money that's already against her. And it also shows a lot of sort of what they describe rage donations and people trying to channel their anger and upsetness with this toward something more active.
Jake, let's move to West Virginia here, where Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat, is up for re-election this November in a very tight race in a very pro-Trump state. I'm imagining he's not getting rage donations, or his candidate is not getting rage donations, Jake.
Well, you know, I haven't seen any FEC numbers of late, but I can tell you that there's just a lot of deflation on the ground among progressives here in the state. And I think a lot of people are really wrestling with where do you go from here and what do you do. You know, I think that any sort of third party vote or any outside party vote is really just going to support a Republican candidate. And then there's this question of, well, is that the best option here? Is that the best way to go? Or do I just kind of want to hedge my bets and pick a guy who's with me sometimes who didn't come through for me last week?
But really, I mean, do you guys think this is going to motivate Democrats more or Republicans more? Or is it still a wait and see game, Jake?
I think more than, you know, a special amount of inflation from the vote, my guess is that you'd see some deflation among Democrats in that there's just not going to be the same excitement to go out and vote. Well, and I think that you have seen some Republican galvanization, say, and you see some people who are geared up. And in the end, there was this huge amount of Democratic energy here in West Virginia, and there were protests outside Manchin's office every day, and there were activists getting arrested outside his D.C. office and his Charleston office last week.
What about for Collins over here, Emily? Was there a similar reaction?
Yeah, I mean, you even see ahead of the vote where they had to shut down the hallway outside of her office, where she was getting coat hangers in the mail. I mean, there's been quite a bit of blowback here.
So we should be expecting a very exciting next couple of weeks, I'm assuming.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Jake, for you as well?
I would bet so, yeah.
Emily Stewart is a reporter with Vox, and Jake Zuckerman is a politics reporter for the Charleston Gazette-Mail. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.